If you would, please, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start in the book of Matthew, and then I'm going to end up in the book of Kings. Matthew chapter 6. And when you find your place, if you'd please stand with me, I'll read verses 25 through verse 33. Matthew 6, 25 through 33. And the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. We ask, Father, that our understanding would be open to it this morning and that your Holy Spirit would have preeminence in each of our lives. Father, that everything that is said and done here today, Father, would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Help us to do all things, Father, in glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want to kind of go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And the story here in 1 Kings chapter 17 was about Elijah. There was a king in those days by the name of Ahab. Ahab was a very evil king. He was wicked. I mean, he was probably one of the most wicked kings that ever lived. He got that from his dad. His dad was a wicked king as well. So there were some very wicked people who ruled and reigned in those days over the nation of Israel and over the nation of Judah. And Elijah at that time had stood before him there. He prophesied in chapter 17 in the verses 1 through 7, where he stood before the king and he told him, he said, "Listen, it's not going to rain. There's not even going to be any dew fall on the ground until I pray and ask God to bring it." And so God, he locked up the heavens and he stopped the water from flowing. But the points that I want to make through all this, and I'm not going to read all 24 verses, but I am going to make some points as we go through this because I think it's important for us to understand. And the one thing I want us to understand is Elijah's name itself means Jehovah is God. So that name Elijah means Jehovah is God. And that was the God of Abraham. That was the God of Adam and Eve. Jehovah, and we know him as our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the reason I wanted to speak here today is because there's a common element that unites all people together. Everybody in this room right now, we're all united over a common thing. And that common thing is we all have needs. Every one of us in this room have a need of some kind or another. And sometimes those needs can be anywhere. It can be physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, financial, whatever it may be. We all have needs. We face needs. And at this time in Elijah's life, Elijah had a great need. He was scared at this point in time because he'd made a prophecy that was actually going to take place because God gave him the wisdom to give that knowledge to King Ahab. He said, "It's just not going to rain." And I want to read a little bit there in 1 Kings 17. the first seven verses, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," now listen, when you give your heart to God and you have a need in your life, the word of the Lord will come to you. He will speak to you and he will tell you, okay, this is what I'm going to do to make sure that you're taken care of. And sometimes we don't see it. We don't see what God is capable of doing. And we've seen that with Camp Jerry this year. And I want to use that a little bit of an example because, you know, we had no idea. When Dave and I went and looked at some cabins, we had no idea what the Lord was going to do. I mean, I was bumfuzzled, you know, because, you know, Dave's like, we need to move forward. And we looked at the cabins out there at Camp Jerry. And I'm telling you, they're in bad array. They're horrible. Praise God, they lasted 35 years. But, you know, God has provided. We have enough to pay for every cabin. What are we, 8 of them, I believe? There was another pastor met out there yesterday when we were out there, and he and I were talking there for a little while. It's the first time I'd met him, Pastor Kim Stone. And that's the first time I'd met him. I talked to him on the phone one time. But, you know, we got enough funds. We got a check yesterday for $42,000 to help pay for some of these cabins out there at Camp Jerry. And you know, we get excited about that. But there's other needs that our church has as well that we need to be just as excited about. And, you know, it thrills my heart when I see how God takes care of his people and how God takes care of his church. I'm just without words sometimes when I think about it. But here in the book of 1 Kings, Elijah had a need. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward. After he gave the prophecy, God said, Go and hide. He said, Get away. Get away from these people because they're evil people. And they're going to try to destroy you. He said, Go and hide. Get away from here. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. He said, You're going to go here, and you're going to drink out of this brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Think about that. If you think you're going to starve to death, you're crazy. God will not let his people starve to death. He went there with absolutely nothing, and God already provided the water in advance. Even before we started anything at Camp Jerry this year, God already had things planned out. He knew who could give what, and he knew what other churches would get involved. And, you know, one of the things that I've decided as the pastor here is I refuse to compromise just to be able to get from other folks. And we have already been criticized a little bit because we're not going to allow other denominations to come in and use Camp Jerry. And that's okay. That's okay. I shared that with our brother yesterday, and he said, I appreciate that. He said, I was a little worried about that. As I'd never met him, he said, I knew y'all had a new pastor there at Abundant Life. And I told him, I said, anybody that doesn't have the same gospel that we preach is not going to come to Camp Jerry. I don't want the world using Camp Jerry, folks. My understanding is that Camp Jerry was put in play simply for a church camp for children. And that's what it's going to be used for. Because that was the plan that God had for it over 35 years ago. And I believe that's still God's plan there. But I believe as well that God has a plan for Abundant Life Baptist Church. And the needs of this church will be met as well. And we have some needs. I mean, we just went through a windstorm. We lost a corner off the gymnasium out here. Some of the soffit came down. We got a storage shed out back where some of the stuff was blown off of it. And that's just as important to me, if not more important, than Camp Jerry. And the reason I say that is because we're here in this church 3 days a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some people are here more than that. but we got to take care of what's here as well. And I think that's important. And that's part of God's plan, is to make sure that every need is met. But they're all important. I want us to understand that as well. But it goes on here and it says, And it shall be that thou shalt drink, there in verse 4, of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. So he went and did according. Now, there's where a lot of people fall short. They don't go. When God says go, they just don't go. They stay where they feel like they feel most comfortable. But he didn't feel comfortable at this time either. But he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread. Can you imagine that? Getting up for breakfast and the ravens show up with your breakfast. I mean, that's the kind of God that we serve, folks. He provides the needs that we have, even through nature itself. See, a lot of people don't understand that. I do. I'm a hunter. So, and what I mean by that, if I get if my wife and I get to the point where I'm too hungry, we're not going to starve to death off our property. We will find something to eat. There's going to be meat there. So I'm a meat eater, and that's just the way that it is. But apparently Elijah here was a bread eater. But the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread. Well, he ate meat as well. And in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So as a result, God told him, go drink out of this brook, and then it dries up. Sometimes it feels like the needs that God met at one point, it's just gone. And you have the same need all over again. And you know, this is all part of God's plan, because in advance, it goes on, it says, in the word of the Lord in verse 8, came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God had already planned for this widow woman to provide for Elijah. He wasn't going to starve to death. No matter what anybody would think, you're never going to starve to death. God is always going to be there to provide every need that we possibly have. And every one of us in this room have got needs. We've got everybody here. Nobody in this room, if you can raise your hand and tell me, I have absolutely no needs whatsoever, no physical, financial, spiritual, physical, whatever. If you can raise your hand and say that you have absolutely no need whatsoever that needs to be met by God and God alone, then please raise your hand. But I don't think there's one person here that can say that. None of us. That's one thing we all have in common is needs. And that's why we have a church, folks, where we can come together and take care of each other and pray for one another and lift up those needs before God Almighty to make sure that they're met. But there will be times in our lives when we will experience a need of some type. If you don't have a need right now, there will be a time come in your life when you're going to have a need. And it seems to be where we focus much of our attention in this life is always on our needs. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. And a lot of times those are not necessarily needs, but they're wants. And sometimes God will provide us with the wants that we have as well, as long as we put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God will sometimes give us the desires of our heart and not just necessarily the needs that we have, because He knows that we're human. He understands the fact that the flesh needs certain things and that we desire certain things. As long as the desires are correct, God will provide those desires as well, as long as they're righteous desires. And if our desire was out at Camp Jerry that we're going to make a whole kind of money, we're going to rent it out to anybody that wants to use it, we're going to use it to make money for our church, etc., then I'm telling you, God won't bless Camp Jerry. He won't bless it. And if we do the same thing here in our church, if we just open our doors and let anybody come in and use our church and our church building, and because they want somewhere to go and something to do, and we allow them to use the grounds here at our church. And I've read the Constitution, and it says that that can't happen with anything that's owned by this church. It's got to be people of the same like faith. But if we let others come in that teach false doctrine or anything like that, then God's not going to bless. He's not going to bless our church, but I believe that He's going to, because we're doing things, I believe, the right way, because I feel like God is leading us in a direction that we need to go. And as a result, we're going to have needs when we get to that point. Folks, we need a sign out here along this road. Did you notice the sign when you come in? It's a good sign. It's been good. It's done its part. But now all the lights are blowed out of it. That wind hit that sign. There's no lights in it now. They're blowed out. And that sign is just canvas anyway. So that was a temporary thing. So we're going to need a sign out there along this road. We want people to know that Abundant Life Baptist Church is alive, and it's a living part of the body of Christ, and we're going to be meeting here. And that sign is a welcome to people. Oh, come on into Abundant Life Baptist Church, because we want them to come in. But there'll certainly be times when we're going to have emotional needs in our life as well. And there's going to be times when we have physical needs. That's just going to be natural. There's going to be times in our lives when we're going to just have things that's going to worry us. And the natural reaction that we have when we have a deep need is to worry. We begin to fret. We get scared. We talked about that storm a little bit ago. I mentioned that earlier. A lot of people were scared to death during that storm. They hear the wind blow, and they seem to forget. Who is the one that creates the wind? It's kind of like the disciples on the ship when Jesus was down in the bottom, and they were crossing the sea, and Jesus was down there. What was he doing? He was sound asleep. I can sleep through a storm, I'm telling you. I've done it before, and it doesn't bother me. And I like storms. I hate to say that, but I like to hear the thunder and the lightning because it reminds me of the power of our Almighty God. And if he can control all that stuff, do you think for 1 minute he's going to let me go without? Absolutely not. God is going to provide each and every need that we have. And so that's our natural reaction, is to worry. But we know from the Bible that this is not God's will for our lives. God's will is not that we should worry. And that's the first thing we want to do. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You got a need? Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And then, of course, what we just read there in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus himself telling us that, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't take no thoughts for tomorrow. You know, and a lot of people say, we should not live for today. We got to live for tomorrow. And that was the big thing in the business world. And they always trying to think way ahead, way ahead, way ahead. Well, you know, got to worry about what's going to happen with this or that. I don't worry about tomorrow, folks. I worry about today. Jesus could come today, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Granted, we need to plan. We need to be wise. We need to be like the ant, like the proverb said. And we need to plan for things to happen in our life. But at the same time, should we meet our own needs? You ever think about it? Can you meet your own needs? I'm telling you, you can. You can. The answer to that is yes. Should we meet our own needs? Yes. And that's a simple answer. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, but if any provide not for his own, in other words, if you refuse to provide for your own family, you're not going to go out and work and get a job, and especially those of his own household, it says, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you're able to work, you got to work, folks. Granted, there's some people that can't work. They've been disabled. They've got bad legs. They've got bad arms. They got something happens, and some people just are unable to work. And we all know that when we get to a certain age, it's hard to work anyway. But the Bible's clear on that if we will not work and provide for our own household, then we're worse than an infidel or a non-believer. So God tells us clearly, as long as we're able to work, we need to work and provide those some of those needs. But sometimes needs arise, even though you're working, that you're unable to meet, and God allows that to happen for a reason. And the answer to that's pretty, it's pretty simple, that God is going to provide those needs no matter what. If there's a huge need that arises, then God's going to make sure that the door's open for that need to be met. And that's important for us to understand that. The answer is pretty simple. It's pretty profound that God gives us clearly in Matthew 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. If you were in Sunday school this morning, Brother Ronnie just taught on this in Sunday school this morning in the Sunday school lesson. Have faith in God. Jesus said that to Peter when they were after they walked by the fig tree and it was cursed. And Ronnie and I didn't talk either, by the way. But the Lord gave me this message, and it just happened to be the Sunday school lesson, and I don't read the Sunday school lesson before I come to church. But I thought to myself when he was going through that, as other people have said, I think he's going to steal my message this morning, because I wanted to talk about Jehovah Jireh, God providing the needs of his people, because that's what it's all about. And it's all about having faith in God. And sometimes our faith is weak, and when our faith gets weak, there's only one way to get that faith strengthened. That's in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God. And when we get away from the Word of God, folks, that's when the faith gets weak. And when a need pops up, it's hard for that to be met, because the last thing we want to do when our faith is weak is to go to a God that we don't have faith in. So we try to meet that need on our own, and we cannot do that. But if we're able to work, we need to do that. But when a need arrives, so do the doubts. I think about it. When something comes up in our life that looks like it's totally impossible for us to take care of it, we've been there. My wife and I have been there. And we're like, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? How are we going to take care of this need? And it's a need that has to be met. But the need was, the answer was already there before our eyes. It was already there. And God has a way of humbling us. And believe me, there's been times that I've been humbled to the point of, there's just things just pop up in your life, and you say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't fix this. And I've always been one that wanted to fix the problems, because that's just that. I don't know if that's the fatherly nature of a man or something, but you want to fix it, and you can't fix it. But you got to do it anyway. And it's like God just, he pushes you to your knees where you have no point but to cry out and say, God, help me. I can't do this no more. I need your help. I need your provision in this need that I have. Please take it away from me. And God says, the need is already met. It's already taken care of. And you don't even know that it was taken care of. Those are the kind of things that just blow my mind. You know, there's no way, if anybody can tell me that they understand God and that they know God so much that they understand him, you know him better than I ever will. Because I don't, I know God as my, I know Jesus as my Savior. And that's nothing that can take me away. But to understand God is far above my finite mind. I cannot even begin to understand him. So can God really meet your needs? If we aren't careful, we might find ourselves wondering the same thing. Can God take care of our needs? And I've been there, and not too long ago, just recently, my wife and I just went through a thing, and it's like, whoa, what happened, you know? But God said, okay, start digging. And we started digging, and the need was already met. Blows my mind, folks. I want us to understand something. When our faith is weak, not that our faith was weak. We just didn't see it. We just didn't see it. God, take the blinders off of my eyes that we can get through this trial that we go through. And believe it or not, God said, I can do this. You see, faith is not believing that God will. It's knowing that he, no, it's not believing that he can. It's knowing that he will. That's what faith is. And we kind of had, my wife and I just recently had to walk away from something. And sit a little while and pray a little hard, wondering how that special need we had was going to be met. Well, it was met. God took care of it. But sometimes we just don't see. We don't see. And you just got to back away and say, God, open my eyes. Where's this coming from? What are we going to do with this? But there's many sides to needs. There are. Often our needs arise from strange and varied sources. And three of them are mentioned in this passage in 1 Kings. And the first one I want to mention is an uncommon service. It's a very uncommon service. We just read that in verses 1 through 7. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah was told, God told him, this is what I want you to do. Elijah's obedience to God created a need in his life. And sometimes when God asks you to do something and you do it, it's going to cause a need in your life. And sometimes you don't see where that and how that need is going to be met. And it gets quite scary. When you tell God, yes, I'm telling you something. When you agree to obey God and do what God wants you to do, brother, you've been there. And when God says, I want you to do this, I want you to go here. I want you to go there. And when you decide, yes, I'm going to follow the Lord, there's always a need that pops up in front of you. And sometimes those needs are a result of your obedience to God, because he's going to test your faith. He will test your faith. Elijah's need arose because of his obedience to the will of God. He was just doing what he was told to do, and then a need popped up. And there are many times when it seems like doing things the right way create a lot of needs in your life. When you choose to do what's right for God, the needs pop up. You're doing everything that you know to do right. You're being obedient to God. You're paying your tithes. You're going to church. You're living right. And still the troubles and the problems still pile up on top of you. And there's nothing you can do about that other than still be obedient, still pay your tithes, still go to church, still read your Bible, still pray, still try to walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ as much as you possibly can, and continue to try to make Him known to a world that is lost and dying and on their way to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep being faithful to the things God gives you to do. The Bible tells us in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace in the world. Now listen, it should not surprise us when we try to do what's right and needs arise. We're not to be surprised when that happens, because He says clearly, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. So when those needs arise, don't think for one minute Jesus didn't have His needs when He walked on this earth. And a lot of people, their attitude is, well, you know what? Jesus was God. Yes, He was, but He still had needs. He felt just like we feel. He had fears. Think about when He went into the garden, like we talked last week, and he had a fear of knowing that His body was going to be tortured to greater than any man had ever been tortured ever before. But that He had a need, and He went to His Father, and He said, Father, if this cup can pass, if you can take it away from me, take it. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. And sometimes that's what we've got to do. When we have to be, we know we've got to be obedient to God. And it's not always the easiest thing to do, because we know that that obedience is going to bring, it's going to bring trials, tribulations, fears. And it's going to be scary. And the only thing we have no other choice at that point than to realize that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Whoever got people in believing that once we came to Jesus for salvation, that all our troubles are going to go away, that person was a total nut. Because I'm telling you, when you try to walk with the Lord God Almighty and you try to do what's right, the whole world is going to be against you. And there's nothing you can do to stop that other than keep doing what's right. No matter what, do the right thing. When fears come, do the right thing. But sometimes we fail because we're not praying before the need arises. And that's where we kind of fall short sometimes. Job said clearly in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Folks, if you go through life without any troubles, you're walking on the streets of glory before you even get there. Because there are troubles in this world. But what we need to understand is when those needs and those troubles come our way, God is going to meet those needs for us. I can sit down and tell you stories that my wife and I have been through when we went to the Philippines, came back, and even now, some of the things that are going on in our life, that we're going to have struggles, and we know that. We know that. We were in the Lord's service one other time. I saw it in my mom and dad. My mom and dad struggled their whole life. Their whole life. My dad, yeah, he was a coal miner for a little while, but he when he retired from coal mining, his pension was only $300 a month, because he didn't have no 40 or 50 years like some people are lucky to do. But he was only in there for a little while, and he had to get out of it. But they struggled. They struggled in life. There's going to be struggles in life, but you know what? And my dad, when my mom died, he didn't understand why God took my mother. He didn't, and he had strong faith, folks. My dad, his faith was so strong that God was going to heal my mother, that he just, you know, she was having trouble with her teeth when she was in the hospital dying, and he said, well, when we get you home, honey, we'll get you to the dentist. My mom never got out of the hospital after that. So you see, sometimes God's will isn't the same as ours. Brother Dale mentioned it a while ago, I believe. God's will isn't always our will. And when God's will, when it's not what we want it to be, and that's where we fall short, folks, because we want God's will to be the same as our will. But God doesn't allow that to happen sometimes. He'll just tell you. He'll just tell you, this isn't what you're going to go through. This is what you're going to go through. And some people, you know, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. The Bible's clear on that. And some people are going to struggle more than others. Peter said it in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice," Peter said, "rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." At the very least, we should not be surprised when things come our way. Don't let it be a surprise to you when God knocks on your... We've had some people just go through some illnesses. Brother Frankie, we're sick there for a while. We got Brother Joe. We got all kind of people in our church with physical needs. Sister Dylan in the hospital. Sister Spurlock in the hospital. We got people in the hospital. And we have needs in our church. But don't think it's strange when things come our way, because it's not unusual. We just need to know how to handle it the right way. We got to be able to take it to the throne room of our Heavenly Father and lay it there as Jesus did and say, "Not my will, thine be done." And life is hard, folks. I will never stand up here behind this pulpit and tell you when you get saved, all things is just going to be rosy. It's not. Matter of fact, it gets harder. When you decide you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to be hard, folks. It's going to be very hard because the devil's going to do everything in his power to take you down every single day of your life. So there's uncontrollable situations. In verses 9 through 12 of 1 Kings chapter 17, there's uncontrollable situations here. These verses reveal a widow woman who was suffering a need because of the wrongdoing of others, not because of her own sin. You will suffer because other people do wrong things. We suffer every day because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. We can't go back and change that. There's still sin in this world. It's rampant. As long as there's sin in this world, there is going to be death. There's going to be illness, and there's always going to be sin because it started in Adam and it's gone through the whole human race. The only way God could have ever corrected that was to kill Adam and Eve in the garden and then create another man and a woman and then make sure that everything was perfect. But God doesn't want it that way. He wants us to choose Him because we love Him. He wants us to have a free will to be able to make the right choices. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." No matter how hard you try to do what's right, you will have pain in this world. Nothing's ever going to take that away. We get older. Age brings pain, folks. We all know that, some of us. Some of us better than others. I can't do half the things I used to do 10 years ago. I wish I could, but I can't. I used to climb a tree and hunt out of a tree. I can't do that no more. My legs won't let me. They won't. The time I leave here today and get home, my knee's going to be that big around. I mean, it's just the way life is. We just got to deal with it and go on. I can't cry about it, can't boo-hoo about it, but I can take it to the Lord. I can take it to the Lord. Brother Dave back here, I don't know how he does what he does. I don't. He's got two knee replacements, am I right? And a shoulder. He's out of Camp Jerry every day. Man, works like a dog out there. I watched him. I've been out there with him. I don't know how he does it. But then again, I do. He's serving the Lord. He's serving the Lord. Folks, when God calls you to serve, don't make life any easier. It doesn't get any easier. So you young people understand that. But I still want you to make the right choice. Still follow the Lord. No matter what pain comes your way, no matter what needs comes your way, serve the Lord. Give your heart to Him. Do what's right, folks. It's not a hard thing to do. You're going to suffer either way. But I'm going to tell you this. It will be a lot harder if God calls and you say no. Life gets ugly then, folks. You don't want God on your bad side. You want God on your good side. So there's always going to be untimely sorrow as well. That you know, there's many needs out there that need to be met. I'm not going to get through all this. And as a matter of fact, I may not even finish this, but I just want us to understand something. Elijah's name meant Jehovah is God. And then there's also a name of our God also called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh simply means the Lord will provide. No matter what your needs are, folks, whether it's physical, spiritual, financial, mental, whatever the case may be, Jehovah Jireh. When those needs arise, I think I've come to the conclusion that when I have a huge need going forward, I'm just going to pause and I'm just going to say, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Remember that name, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Don't think for 1 minute you're not going to have needs. And I know everybody in this church has got them. We all do. And we need to pray for one another. And that's the greatest need that that's the greatest thing you can do to help provide somebody's needs is pray for them, folks. Pray for them. But don't run from God. Don't run from God. When he calls, I'm telling you, the old devil's going to knock on your door. He's going to whisper in your ear. And you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. You're either going to follow him and do what's right, no matter what the needs are that come your way, or you're going to follow the devil, and you're going to go the wrong way. And I'm okay as long as I'm fighting the devil, but I can't fight him. I can't stand up here and say for 1 minute that I can do anything to defeat the devil, because I cannot do it. Nobody can. What makes us think for 1 minute that a created being who has been around way, way longer than we have, that he has not gained more knowledge than we'll ever begin to have? He knows your every thought. He don't know your thoughts. He can't read your mind, but he knows when you do what's right, and he's going to do everything to destroy you trying to do what's right. But still do it, folks. Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 and 14 says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket." Right? Abraham was at a crossroads at one point in his life. He was supposed to kill his own son, Isaac. God told him, take your son up here, take some wood, go up on the mountain, and I want you to kill your son and give him to me as a burnt offering. And Abraham did what God told him to do. And they got up there, and Abraham went and took the ram. Well, there was a thicket there, and a ram got his horns cut in that thicket. But at that one point, Isaac looked over at his dad, and he said, we have the wood, we have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the ram? And Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. So folks, no matter what you're going through, God will provide that ram. He'll provide that sacrifice. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. So no matter what your need is, folks, if you have a fear, you know what? Fear is that's a need that needs to be met. You're afraid of something? It's okay. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Just say it over and over in your heart, in your mind. Kneel down before God and say, Jehovah Jireh. I mean, think about it. Just a few months ago, we didn't have a dime to pay for anything up at Camp Jerry. Not a dime. Dave comes to me, says, brother, he said, Pastor, he said, I want to go look at some buildings up Ripley, I believe it was. it was up towards Ripley, it was a long ways off. And I said, well, I'll go with you. So we drove up there, looked at those buildings. Got the price, and I'm thinking, whoa, where's that going to come from? We haven't wanted for a dime of it. Not a dime of it. God's good, folks. We've had other churches that sent us money. Got a check yesterday for $42,000. I don't understand God. I don't. I never claim to, and I never will claim to understand God. All I know is he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and to me, he owns it all. No matter what your needs are, they're going to be met. No matter what our needs are as a church, as long as we're trying to know him and make him known, folks, he will provide every need that we have inside the walls of this building, outside the walls of this building, whatever the case may be, God is going to provide it all, because our God is good, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he's not going to let us go without. I mean, think about it. The ravens brought bread and meat, flesh, to Elijah in his time of need. And then when that was all up, he made provisions for a widow woman and her dying son. They were starving to death. They had no food. They had a little bit of meat, a little bit of grain to make some bread. And Elijah said, go fetch me some water and go make me some bread so I can eat. And she said, but that's all I have. And he says, no, it's not. He said, God's not going to let your barrel go dry. She never went without. I think that lasted the rest of her life. Her and her son. And her son even died at that point. He died. And Elijah went down and stretched himself over top of the body of that dead boy. And he began to pray to God Almighty. He didn't know nothing about raising nobody from the dead. But you know what? That boy rose up out of his grave right there. And God gave life to that child. Don't think for one minute that God does not love us and does not care for us and that he's not going to provide every need that we possibly could ever have. I don't care how deep the need is. If our church needed $1 million, he would provide $1 million. Plain and simple. It would come from somewhere. Why? Because it's God's. It's not ours. It's his. When we begin to look at what we have and what God has provided for this church as ours, and we say, well, look what I did, then God's not going to bless, folks. God's not going to bless it no more. If we don't take what we have and keep it Christ-centered and we keep it all about Jesus, then it's going to be of no use. Because you know what? It's all going to burn one day anyway. But while God's put it in our provision and he's put it in our custody to be able to take care of the things that he's given us to use for his glory and honor, he will bless it. But the moment we start saying, I, then God's going to say, no, 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 no. It's mine, 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 mine. You can't have it. And he'll give it to someone else. And that's the last thing I want to see happen, folks. So let's take time to remember Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And sometimes I don't know how he does it. Sometimes I don't understand it all. And I never will. Because he said very clearly that his ways are way higher than my ways. He said in Isaiah, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I can't understand him. Don't even want to begin to try. Because when I try to understand God, I just get dumber. I do. I get dumber and dumber the more I try to understand God. Because he'll look at me and he'll say, you know, if you're so smart, then why aren't you up here sitting on my throne? And I say, that'll never happen. Because I'm a finite human being. I don't understand it all, but I praise his name. And that's what we've got to do, folks. So if you got a need today, if you have a need, don't be afraid to pick up the phone, call your pastor. I'll answer my phone. If I don't, I'll get back to you, unless I'm in the middle of something, and then I'll still get back to you eventually. But God put us all where we're at for a reason. And if you're breathing in and out, God's not done with you. Brother Frank, God's not done with you, brother. I don't care if you're 194. God's not done with you. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you can do something for God. Brother Mark, you're tired, brother. I know that. But God's not done with you yet. You know, we've all got, and sometimes we work ourselves to the bone. Brother Mark, he works all night and goes out to Camp Jerry. God bless him. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how any of these guys do these things. When you burn the candle at both ends, eventually the fire gets hotter. And eventually the wax is gone. Sometimes we need a rest. And God says there's a rest for us. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm looking forward to that rest. But that's okay. Faith is not believing that God can. It's knowing that he will, folks. And he will provide those needs. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful today for your precious word. And thank you, Lord, that we can cry, Jehovah Jireh, knowing, Heavenly Father, without a doubt, that whatever our needs be, you will meet those needs, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. Father, we have some in our church, Father, that have great needs. We have those who have fears, and sometimes we don't understand what other people feel or what they go through. But Father, help us to be compassionate enough to try to understand and to care enough to pray. And Father, we pray for those who would long to be here in our positions, able to come and sit in church, and there are those who are unable to do that. Lord, forgive us for not being thoughtful of those and help us to remember them in our thoughts and in our prayers and in a phone call or a visit, and to do our part, Father. If you can use us to provide the needs of someone else, then so do it, Father. And Lord, as we continue through a short invitation, Father, we ask that we wouldn't be too proud to bow our knee and present those needs before your throne of grace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.